Happy New Year! Everybody use their non-instrumental party blowers. We have a new mic and everything. Everything's brand new. Should be crisp and clear for you. We have a lot going on. Had a lot going on. This morning's sermon is titled Campbell Church of Christ 2012 New Year's Day Sermon. That sounds appropriate. And I only have to do it one time because next year will be a different year. And so what I want to do is, first I want to start out and give a perspective of time. Time is just one of the things that weird me out the most. Because it doesn't, when you transfer into the realm of everlasting, what's it going to be like not to have time anymore? We always want to know how old is somebody, when were you at a certain time, how old did that person live? And time was invented for us. It's an invention of God for us. God reiterated a promise to Abraham. Let me give you an example. In Genesis 17, verse 7 and 8. He says, I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants after you. I will give to you and your descendants after you the land of your sojournings and all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. That's just a reiteration of it. It was first revealed to us in Genesis 12, reiterated again after chapter 13. Quite a few times God kept saying, go back to Abraham, look at that promise. And that promise referred, in essence, to spiritual descendants, not the physical. It's the spiritual descendants, which is the focus. In Galatians 3:16, Paul wrote, now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He does not say, and to seeds, as referring to many, but rather one. And to your seed, that is, Christ. Wow, I didn't see that. Well, it's there. In Romans 4:16 and 17, same promise of Abraham. Paul writes again, for this reason it is by faith, in order that it may be in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed to all descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, a father of many nations have I made you. In the presence of him who believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls things into being that do not yet exist. Now, he can make eternal promises because he's an eternal God. We so often forget that. That's I think, one of the greatest qualities of our God that we don't talk enough about. You know, got a watch for Christmas. I like watches. I do. I'll never spend a lot of money on a watch. I used to have a Timex collection when I was a kid. And so I got a watch, and you know, there is no reason to have a watch in heaven. What would a watch look like? It'd just be blank. What day is it? Yeah. What time is it? Yeah. How old are you? Yeah. We only have one day left after we die. And that's an eternal day with an eternal purpose and meaning in our life that we're going to be worshiping God forever. We're not going to be tired. We won't lose strength. There'll be no sorrow, tears. There won't be any pain. You won't be tired one bit. You can worship God at a maximum level for eternity. And guess what? We all sing good in heaven. Not just you fancy bird voices. I can't wait to sing as, well, even better. You realize the worst singer here is going to sing better than the best singer there. Because we're going to really see, we're going to be singing with our hearts eternally unto God. You know, God is an eternal God. He makes eternal promises to eternal people because He is an eternal God. Titus 1 verse 2, and hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time's eternal. Before time, God already had the promise written up. We thought, oh, it all started on the day of Pentecost. Oh, it all started sometime around creation. Before time. Psalm 90, verse 1 and 2. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations, because before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. He's the same God before creation. He'll be the same God after annihilation. He is God, consistent, like a laser, even a billion times brighter. And so, simply put, God invented time for us to experience Him eternally. So if you were watching, you know, the wrench drop in Mechanicsburg, or the ball drop in New York City, or whatever they're dropping to indicate a new year, we really need to keep the mindset that we worship a daily God. Just because it switched another year doesn't mean God switched in any way. Our whole existence is defined through the events of time. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8. There is an appointed time for everything. There is a time for every event under the heaven. A time to give birth and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down, a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to throw stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to shun embracing. A time to search and a time to give up as lost. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear apart and a time to sew together. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. Very simple. Our whole life is defined by moments of time. All that goes out the window when we're raised on that glorious day of resurrection. That's going to be great, because you're never going to run out of time. People show up late to church, they're driving home, we're going to be late. Nobody's going to be late for heaven. Do you realize that? Whew, that's one less thing to worry about. We won't have to worry about, the job descriptions there. Everything will be in place. And time was invented for us for a special reason. Because if we do not appreciate everlasting on this side of salvation, on this side of the resurrection, then we can't really appreciate it with everlasting life. We have one constant mindset. How are things going to be different in heaven? And that is one of the primary ways. We will not be restricted in any way for time. Now, with that in mind, I want to go ahead and take some time and reflect on 2011 concerning the congregation. And then I want to give a preview of 2012. That way, we can see where we're at, where we're going. We can use it to kind of gauge whether or not we're doing God's will. Because it's so easy to lose track of who we are in Christ outside of time if we focus too much on a ball dropping or that this is a new year. And so, first thing I want to talk about, there are some new families in the congregation that weren't here last year. We have the upgraded Probst family. It's new and improved Tracy with Jackie and the kids. Bill and Linda Hickman, they're new to the congregation. Jason Collette, Renee Raven, Robert and Jill Pomeroy. Dylan Haig is new. Miss Coriander Johnson, that's Arby's mom. Miss Phyllis Clark, that's Richard's mom. And you snuck in right under the wire. The Chapmans. Chapmans are here now, if you didn't notice that. And we also had some families that relocated in that scope we call time. Greg and Magda Koski, Ben Alexander, he was the man from Alabama that was here for a time. He thought he might end up being able to be here permanently, but he actually left a message the other day for the elders in May to let us know that he was actually relocated to Abilene, Texas with his job. The Mike Green family, he went over to help start a new work. And along with him, Earl and Diane Wilburn family, DeLon and Lauren. Ty and Stacy Burns were here. They're over there. Miss Flossie is over there. Wanda Jackson, who used to be here, is over there. And also Carl and Trudy Brooks. So there's been a lot of people who moved out. We had some move in, some move out. That's the nature of life. But we also had, I think, quite a few births. Evangeline, the Gaskins child, Amelia, Chris, and Sarah Deitch. Are they here today? Okay, just tell them we mentioned them. And we had Lucy, that's Dave and Tracy Nix. And then DeLon and Lauren had DeLon Jr. They're over at the other congregation now. And, of course, we had Jennifer Mars, and she had lost her son just a couple months ago. And baptisms, we had Kelly Hamilton. I see you right there. It's going to be sad she goes off to school, because I thought we were going to have some kind of Hamilton union here, but it never happened. So now I'm going to have to go try to find somebody else named Hamilton and try to help them find the way of God more accurately. Pat and Lori Woodward, they're right over there. Serena Fry was baptized this year. So was Robert and Jill Pomeroy. They're right back there. Valerie Green, she was baptized not very long ago. Stephen Buck was baptized, I think was in May. Yeah, in May. And then one I forgot to put on the notes, but I did get up there, was George Weaver. I was thinking that he missed the cutoff, but I guess not. And so George was baptized. And if I've left somebody out in here, blame Tim. Okay, just because I send emails out for people who had better minds than me, and this is all they could help me come up with. Marriages, you have Tracy and Jackie Probst. I'm proud of you, Tracy. I am. Our boy's growing up, isn't he? Anyway, Richard and Anita Clark were married. Robert and Jill Pomeroy, and Josh and Christian Decker were married. Josh used to attend here, and his parents still do. And we had a lot of high school and college graduates. Aaron Zimmerman, Callie McCullough, Kiera Allen, Raul Ortega had graduated last year. And then some college graduates, Natalie Hamilton, Anastasia Yoder, Janine Radzinko, Zach Cantrell, John Yoder. Those are all great accomplishments. And if you haven't congratulated them, let your congratulations be known. We successfully ran a lot of different ministries this last year that continued from the year before. Small groups, congregation, I added them up. We had many hundreds of small group studies in dozens of locations over a 40-mile radius from this building here. And so you did a great job in participating in those. And we also have a car ministry. Once again, I ran a rough total. In the last year, we once again saved tens of thousands of dollars. It usually averages about $35,000 to $40,000 a year saved on car expenses due to that ministry. And veterans ministry, April Dyke has put up a Facebook page for it, and she's done a great job in putting together gift boxes and cards. So many people have helped her in that participation by signing cards, helping purchase those gift boxes. And the veterans really appreciate that. And also soup and gift card ministry. Margaret Pownell has done a lot of work in that, as well as many others, to distribute many quarts of delicious soup to the hungry and the hurting. Many hundreds of dollars of grocery and gas cards were distributed this year to members and some who are not members, in helping them in that ministry. Then the internet ministry has really moved along quite a bit. A year ago, we started internet broadcasting Sunday morning services, and we built upon that. Every Sunday, we broadcast a live service, two of them actually. And there's also, if you're hearing impaired, Dave has it set up, Dave Smith, to where if you get one of those FM players like you'd have at the treadmill in LA Fitness, you just turn in. You could actually bring your own headpiece if you have trouble hearing me or the singing or whatever. Skyping, we Skype every Wednesday because Broadtop Church of Christ does not have a minister. Instead of just watching a tape, they actually participate live down in the back room on Skype with our group every Wednesday evening. And so that has happened nearly every week in the last year. We had many people who participated in missions. Of course, Broadtop congregation participates in that. The elders agreed to help head up a list of speakers to help to do the Skype ministry, as well as to they've allowed me to go down 2 years in a row now to help them with their fall meeting, as well as we've had some other projects with them, and we have some good ones in the future as well. We upgrade the audio system, as I mentioned. About everything is new in it, so you know, Richard can bump the mic and it's not near as damaging to our ears when he does the announcements. But also, it's used there to increase the quality of the CDs that we've had. We haven't had as many CDs since we do broadcast live, and it's kept on the computer before you go back on any of them. But all totaled, we did make over 20,000 CDs with that ministry that were distributed out over the years. Also, Adam Smith went to China. And is he still here? I think he is. Yeah, okay. I know he's supposed to speak on the 22nd about China. So you better get that sermon ready. We love you. Ashley Dowler went to Zambia. Jake Dowler went to Honduras. Natalie Cridlow went to Jamaica. Those were all works supported by the congregation here. And some major memories that we have from 2011. George Carman came out and spoke in the springtime. We had a church growth seminar here, and he spoke on Sunday morning, but he flew in on Friday night and met with a large group of us. Broadtop came down, some people from Lewistown, and we went ahead and had a meal downstairs, and we tried to work out some plans for church growth and church plantings. Sarah Blaine, if you remember, had a horrible accident, nearly died from it, and I want to recommend you for the great job that you did in reaching out to her and the family, and I know that many in the family are very, very grateful for that. We won Junior Bible Bowl for the first time in decades. That was incredible. And that was Tim's last year, so now it's up to Lydia to try to repeat that. Try to thrice it, Lydia, if you can, like the Bulls did. And Mid-South Tour, we took a large camper full of our students down to four Brotherhood colleges for the youth to be able to be exposed to them. That used to be an annual event. I think it's now a semi-annual event, actually every other year. And we had services in the dark following the hurricane of late summer. That was interesting. It was like rolling back the clocks of time to that in worshiping in caves. But then about 5 days later, we had the death of Paul Cantrell. And I think that, to me, was probably the largest memorable event that happened. He's sorely missed, and but I tell you, he did so much work here for us, and that's really sort of the top event to me that occurred, and he'll always be remembered here in the congregation as long as there are those who knew him here. Now for some upcoming events of 2012. Now, as you can see, we're not an idle congregation here. We're always trying to do something. We're always trying to reach out, trying to learn more about God, trying to love each other. We're not perfect, but we do very much thrive. And I have to say that most of the congregations that I've ever been to would be happy to have that list that I just read. Many congregations I've been to, they might mention two or three things, maybe four or five. I had to limit many of the things that we had. So I thank you for being a great congregation. Jan and I have often commented, you know, we couldn't even imagine a better church family than the one we have here. And thank you very much for being that family. Upcoming for 2012, there's very likely a mission trip to Ghana in August or September, depending upon how we work that out. We haven't been there for about 4 years. Bob Williams and others had participated heavily in that work. It's still being supported by the congregation, and we feel it's necessary to go back and participate in that work to keep it revitalized. Tim Williams is going to go over there. I think Natalie Cridlow is going to try and work in the clinic there, help with some physical therapy, and my daughter Natalie Hamilton, or Curtis, is planning on going there to teach in the Ghana elementary school they have next door to it. And also, there's a new format coming up on Sunday nights beginning February. What we have is, on the Sunday evenings, we're going to have what's called a service-based worship. How that works is, and this is your preview to it, we're still going to have a worship service here starting at the same time. But what's going to precede that is, in February, the theme is on elderly. So we're going to reach out to the elderly the entire month of February. The first Sunday that we do it, we'll meet here about 3:30 to 4 o'clock. You have to sign up for these to participate. And there'll be lists put in the back next week for that. But we will pair up in groups of 5 or 6 and go to already pre-approved nursing homes that the activity directors have okayed for us to go into. They'll even provide us some list of people who don't have visitors. And for about an hour, hour and a half, we will visit those individuals. We will be the best friend that we can be for them. And then at the end of that, we'll let them know that we're having a crash day the next week. But we'll come back, and at 5:30, we'll start a worship. We'll have a few songs. We'll have a 15-minute devo about that subject, reaching out to the elderly. That'll be done by one of our elders. And then we will have a few moments of open sharing for those who participate in it. And then the next week, we'll have come back together at about 4 o'clock, and we'll have a crafts where we make them the crafts, whatever we're going to do. And we'll have another lesson at 5:30 by another elder talking about the elderly, how we can honor them even more. Then the following Sunday, we're going to go back to the nursing home, to those people that we met, and present them with a handcrafted gift that we made for them in advance. Bring it to them, have another visit, come back, have another service, and then try to plan another activity for the following week from there. Now, the idea is we can have, I think the picture, did I have a picture up there for that? I didn't remember, but, on the PowerPoint, I thought I did. But the idea is that we need to make sure that our faith is in action, it's organized, and we want ideas to come from you. So during the open time of those services, we're going to have your input on other categories like the elderly, the military, single mothers, maybe battered women, maybe youth. We want you to help design the themes for the month. So it's important that you have your participation. Otherwise, I might choose taxidermy or something like that. So we're hoping that you can be part of that. We'll have the sheets put up this coming Wednesday, and then start signing up, letting us know, because we have to know how many people are going to participate in those activities. And then we start an evangelism committee that will be starting to, we met for the first time last month, but what the evangelism committee is, we have 18 individuals that were handpicked, as well as two of the teenagers, to help us to focus our studies, the ones I'm going to be heading up, for reaching out to people. And then Tim is taking under the education committee. He's focusing more on the continuing education studies. And so we're really going to make a thrust toward evangelism. In fact, by next week, we're going to start a series on church growth. And you'll find it very, very interesting. A lot of data in that, a lot of Bible. And we will also be the sponsoring congregation. The last thing I want to mention this morning, we will be the sponsoring congregation for Wassam. Raise your hand, Wassam. He's the Iraqi that came to us. He's converted over in Iraq. He has quite a story. He's spoken here a couple times. Tomorrow, he'll be headed out down to Sunset. He'll be a full-time student at Sunset International Bible Institute. And we're his sponsoring congregation for that. And so following the invitation song, we're going to have the elders come up, and they're going to have Wassam come up, and they will pray in a commissioning factor for that. And we're very proud of you, Wassam, and we want to send you off with the greatest aspirations. And you must keep in touch very much. And so that's some of the things we have upcoming. There are many other things like that, but those are going to be some of the focuses. And now, back to the verse that was originally read. God's greatest vision for our time on earth. We can do a whole bunch of things in our life. We can talk about what we've done. But there's one time that's most important of all. God wants to make sure we participate in. And this life, it was the verse that was read, and I'll read it again. Jeremiah 21, verse 11 to 13. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. If you have not had that moment in your life where you have consummated a relationship with Jesus Christ, God wants that time fulfilled more than anything else. If you have not converted, if you have not become a Christian, please come and talk to me. We need to make sure you have that time, because all other times in your life will pale in comparison to that. That is the one thing that changes the entire outcome of the rest of your life and the lives of those around you. And so we offer that invitation song at this point, and following that, Brian and the elders will come up.